What are we calling? Is this a podcast?
Red. It's
awesome. Flash.
We are good to go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Reddit Talks Clash, the podcast hosted by the moderators of r/ClashClans. We are here for our last episode of 2023, recording on the day after Christmas, after a big update, a new event, a ton of stuff to talk about. I am joined today by Congressman Cool Rick and Spencer. My name is Sam. And yeah, we've got a ton of stuff to discuss in this episode because the latest updates, the latest Channel 16 update, has spewed a ton of happiness, anger, and many emotions into the community, all of which we're going to be diving into. But firstly, Channel 16 aside, after that, we got a new event, the Cookie Rumble event. So, let's go over the basics. We got a new epic hero equipment in this event, which you can purchase through the event shop with cookies. We got more ore in the event shop, we got an exclusive skin, and similar to the Mashup Madness event in Halloween, we have another almost season pass with a bunch of free goodies, but also some paid goodies. Rick, what was your kind of thoughts on the event when you first saw it?
I'm over it. I'm so over it.
What? Only the second event and you're already over it?
Like, so I'm over some of it. Like, it's cool. It's fun. I'm still doing it. You know, I'm still crushing every day. But just how overpowered everything was, it was really fun during the Mashup Madness at Halloween, and it's less fun now.
Mm-hmm. So to provide to explain to everyone, we got two new exclusive troops and one new exclusive spell. One of those exclusive troops is the Cookie Pecker, or just Cookie, all in uppercase. And they can literally one-shot every single building for 10 housing space. So if that gives you any sort of idea on how overpowered it is, there it is.
I think it's really the spell is what is making everything so OP, because it's a freeze. I don't actually know how the duration compares to a regular freeze, but it's a freeze that spawns Yeti Mites. So it's essentially like a freeze and a skeleton spell.
Mm-hmm.
And it is stupid strong. Yeah. I've been getting perfect legends days, and I'm not a good player. I was 80th in the world for a few seconds in legends. And like, I am not good enough. I'm not good enough to justify being in the top 100, even like the super cheap way that I did it, just like using the OP troops and busting off all 8 hits in the first 20 minutes of the start of the season. But I don't know, it's way too strong.
I mean, we all kind of enjoyed Lavaloon, right, when in the Mashup Madness event, and we kind of, you know, brushed that off as, oh yeah, it was broken, it was silly, but it was quite a bit of fun, and like, as a limited time thing, it wasn't the end of the world. But if this is going to become the norm, that we get lots of these, you know, special events, and in each one we get an overpowered troop, is it just going to be far too much?
I think so. I mean, I just said I'm over it. Like, Mashup Madness came at such a perfect time in the game, too. It was right at the end of Town Hall 15. You know, like, no one really knew it was the end of Town Hall 15, except a few of us, but it was right at the end. People were at, like, their peak frustration with how difficult 15 really was. It was the first opportunity a lot of players had to be consistently good at Town Hall 15, and that's what drove a lot of, you know, a lot of the love for it, and it was fun.
Yeah,
like, my highest 3-star rate over the last year until this event was, you know, obviously during Mashup Madness, everyone's was, you know, we all looked at it as, oh cool, this is a temporary troop, who cares. And just now, like, as a second time around doing it again, I don't know, it's like I'm still having fun, but I'm not having as much fun, and I'm not looking forward to doing it again for whatever the next one is.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, considering the time in which, you know, the time gap in which we've had these two events isn't very long, it seems like they're intending to push these out quite a lot more. And yeah, I think it's just going to get a bit ridiculous. And another thing that changed from Mashup Madness was the introduction of a paid tier to the event pass. So it's $5 or £5, similar to the old price of the Guild Pass. and it unlocks you essentially at the gold tier for the gold pass, right? Have you two bought it?
Yes.
Yeah, I did. I bought it on one account.
Yeah, just one account for me.
Did you feel like it's been worth it?
I definitely say it's worth the $5. Definitely not as valuable as the gold pass, but for $5, it's got some really good value compared to like the packs in the shop and stuff like that.
Here's going to be one of the rare times like I really agree with Spencer, and maybe I'm more enthusiastic. Yeah. I think it's a great deal. Like, the first thing I thought was like, is this just a roundabout way of giving us a diamond pass? You know, because like, you know, 7 and 5 is there's that 12 bucks, but it's not every month. And then if you look at all of the magic items it makes possible for you to buy, like even if it's just extra ore, which you can get a ton of ore.
Yeah.
If you package all that stuff in the shop for $5, people would call it the best deal that Clash has ever had. So I'm totally on board with a $5 event pass that's optional.
Yeah.
They really could have messed it up by putting a troop in there or so much cookie metals that you needed to buy the pass to get the gauntlet, but they didn't do that.
Yeah, that would have been
so
an issue.
They definitely went a good route for the pass.
Yeah, that segues us quite nicely into, I guess, the broader discussion for today's episode, but obviously still tied to Cookie Crumble. We got the giant gauntlet, the first piece of epic equipment, and, well, it's certainly divided opinion. So, obviously, it is currently a season or seasonal event exclusive equipment, right? So after this event ends, we will not be able to get the equipment again for a little bit. Now, it will come back in some form. It seems to be the trader will be selling it at some point. But either way, we've essentially got in-game mechanic, which is locked behind a time-specific event. How do you guys feel about that?
This is kind of the first time we've ever had something like this, where you really had to play the game to unlock something that everyone else has or has the potential to play with, you know. It's like putting a pet in the trader. I don't know. It just feels weird.
Yeah, I kind of hate it.
We've had temporary stuff in the past, but it always, you know, obviously like the Christmas troops and spells and stuff, like they always go away and they go away for everyone.
Mm.
So having something that's only available to obtain for a limited time and then goes away is new. And I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about that long term, because like you know, we only know it's coming back in the trader for gems at some point. We don't know how much or when. We don't know if there's ever going to be a non gem way to get it in the future either. So I don't know. It's definitely a change in philosophy for the game, and long term, I'm still trying to figure out if I like it.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same kind of space as it being uncomfortable, right? Because, I mean, in theory, I think it's a bit unique, the fact that we're getting a special item and a special event. Yeah, that's a little bit fun in its own way. But then when you think about the effort Supercell has put into the returning player experience, for example, you know, automatically upgrading your buildings if you're offline for over, I think, either 90 or 100 days, upgrading your troops, giving you even that free little daily login reward for 7 days when you come back now. You know, it feels like they focus on the returning player experience a lot. Yet now their solution to missing out on an event, which will happen to a lot of people, it will happen not just people taking a break or for, you know, players that are going to return in the future. It's going to automatically happen for new players. Anyone new isn't going to get the event. And then forcing them to spend gems just because they committed the terrible crime of not playing the game yet seems really quite odd. I mean, I guess it's like an OG exclusive item almost, but like that's not really that special when the game's been out for over 11 years now. So I really don't like it.
Long term, we don't even know like if that's going to be a problem, because I think power creep is a real concern with the addition of new gear, new equipment constantly. It could be that a year from now there's no reason to have her use the giant gauntlet because there's newer, better, cooler equipment available.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is kind of cheap to me that the only way to get it later is going to be gems, but it also basically every game goes once they start down this path is that old gear is going to become irrelevant. So as much as I don't like it, I don't know that it's a real problem that it's going to be available in the trader only.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of quite an optimistic hope, isn't it? That you're it'll only be okay for it to be in the trader eventually.
I'm just trying to be realistic about it.
Yeah,
I'm not happy with it. I don't think it's a great decision. I'm just saying, like, realistically, a year from now, I could see us not caring.
Yeah, but then equally, will this not happen again? Will we not get another new epic equipment which appears in the trailer, which is suddenly the next best thing? And once again, everyone's discussing this. Yeah, I'm really not sure about this as a long-term strategy.
It's a long-term strategy to make sure we keep logging in and keep doing our daily hits and, you know, and stay in war. It's certainly long-term that way. Like, that's what's been most frustrating for me lately is I think a lot of people are having emotional reactionary takes to it without realizing, like, we don't have a whole lot of information about how it's going to play out in the future. We don't know if it's going to suck or, like, maybe this is going to be a great thing for the game, too. When Town Hall 11 came out, the shield changes, like, you would have think it killed the game. If you go back on the Wayback Machine and look at Reddit in 2016, and, like, you think Clash was about to die, but, like, that shield change and the loot changes were long-term amazing for the game, too. So I don't want to be too pessimistic.
I mean, I guess you say that we don't have all the information right now, but there is also been quite a bit of criticism about that, I guess, the fact that Supercell probably haven't communicated this update very well.
Yeah, the communication sucks lately. I mean, well, I guess it always has. So I don't want to say lately.
Yeah, it does feel like they missed the mark this time, though. I mean, I don't feel like the levels were explained very well, the difference between Epic and Common. Obviously, the big thing that really hasn't been communicated well is the how you'd get the epic equipment in the future after the event.
You know, it's still in flux. I don't think anything's at like the final decision stage, at least nothing that's been announced to us through the creator programs. I don't know, like, are you guys even using the gauntlet?
Well, yeah, here's the thing. I really don't know how good it is because I'm using that cookie army that's really OP, so it's hard to really tell how good this gauntlet is.
Yeah.
Like, and also it's got 27 levels too. You know, for a person in Legends League who has a pretty decent war record, it's going to take like 3 months to max it out anyway. You know, so I don't know when it becomes good or even if it becomes good. I just know I'm going to have to invest 3 months of my time upgrading it and only it to really kind of find out. And that sucks.
Yeah, it's really weird too how they release this equipment with the event when there's already going to be temporary troops and spells. And just them calling it epic, that kind of just forces us to be like, okay, I feel like we need this. We need to spend all of our medals on this equipment for our heroes because it's epic and all the other ones are common.
Yeah, I'm still quite struggling with why they even introduced the rarity because it automatically, I mean, either in theory, the epic equipment should be better than the common equipment, right? It's epic, it should be better, right? So that's one option. But then you kind of think, oh, why would you use the common equipment? Or it's not better than the common equipment, and it's only epic because maybe you get it as, you know, maybe the only reason it's epic is because you get it through this limited time event. And then you ask, okay, why am I having to upgrade about 10 extra levels for something that's not even better? Why is this even epic? So I feel like the added rarity is a lose-lose scenario.
I completely agree.
Yeah. So I think that kind of moves us along to the next like big stuff that I wanted to talk about today. This update is really going to drive a lot of fundamental changes about the way we have to play the game and the way a lot of people are going to have to look at how they play the game too. Or it seems like a small little thing, but there's so many secondary effects. Just the fact that you now are going to feel compelled to log in daily, you know, to do the daily bonus. You can't grind out ore. It's just a slow drip that you have to get from doing wars and logging in all the time. It's going to force them to be a lot more active than they may have been in the past. Is that a bad thing either too? Like, I don't even know. Like I play daily and I war constantly anyway. So it's not a change for me at all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one thing you could argue is, okay, sure, with normal loot, right, you can absolutely blitz it and farm a ton of it, right? There's no restriction on that. But the restriction you do have is time, right? Whereas these equipment upgrades don't cost you any time. So I feel like it's actually not that different. It's just semantically and in appearance it feels different. Because where you're only getting a slow drip of ores, right? That's essentially time penalty. Okay, and instead the time penalty would have just been translated to the actual upgrades. So I'm not sure if it makes a huge difference, but I guess in terms of having to log on daily, that is a difference, right? I don't think it's the worst thing trying to encourage people to play a bit more.
So I just said, you know, like I play daily anyway and I war constantly. Like I'm already doing all that. So in a way, ore is essentially a passive thing that I just get for playing the way I normally do. So that's kind of cool. But then also too, like there's a part of me that's like, don't tell me how to play. even though it already aligns with exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
There are players who would only log in on the weekends, pop a training potion, you know, get 3, 4, maybe 5 of their builders going depending on where they are, and then not touch it during the week and then come back on the weekend and do that again. And that was fun enough for them. And that's not going to be viable really anymore now, at least if you want to keep up with your hero equipment. But one of the other big cultural changes that Clash needs to really, really deal with is it's kind of been the norm to not allow people to war without their heroes at all. Mm. And now if you want to keep up with your equipment, you have to war constantly. There's no way around that math right now. You have to be in war all the time. Like, are you guys letting people in your clans war without heroes, or what's the expectation there?
Well, from a clan leader who launches war back to back, I just add who is opted in and that's it. I don't really check heroes. If someone wants to war without heroes, I don't really mind that.
So was it a rule before this update, or did you change to accommodate the...
A few years ago, we had a rule where you can't war with your heroes upgrading, but right, I relaxed a lot of my rules years ago.
Okay, so maybe you're not the best basket case for this, because you've been doing this for years anyway. But I guess I can speak on behalf of our client, Rick, so obviously... We used to only allow heroes up for wars. It's really almost impossible to get a 3-star with even a single hero down. But that did change for this update, so we now allow people to go in wars with heroes down. Just because, I mean, it's not a crazily competitive clan who are looking to set a huge win streak. And ultimately, I think people just realize now that it's anti-progression if you don't participate in wars. So I mean, even if you're losing wars, you're still gaining more than if you just sat out of them. So it's weird, because any more competitive clans, I mean, what are they gonna do now? Do they just have to suck it up? Or
there's a lot of moving parts to make that decision too. You're, you know, how many people in your clan are gonna be warring without heroes? And, you know, the more people without heroes you allow, at least at higher levels, you know, like you're going to lose more wars. And losing wars means less ore for those who did participate. I just think people are going to have to rethink no war without heroes kind of rules. It's not something that's just a given to continue the same as it's been for the last 11 years.
Yeah, I guess the main reason it's been a rule for so long is because it puts... In theory, both clans are level playing field, right? The reason people enforce heroes in war is because, I mean, like I said, it's hard to triple without. But it ensures that, at worst case scenario, the other clan has all heroes up. So it's just balanced. But if everyone's got slightly different hero arrangements, in theory, you could argue the kind of play isn't balanced. So, yeah, it's really weird.
Like, when's the last time you cared about war loot?
Oh, God, never, really. I mean, maybe a little bit recently, because I've been wanting just more Dark Elixir to upgrade my heroes, but apart from that, no.
Yeah, like, I haven't cared about the war loot since I was, like, you know, a Town Hall 9 on my main, because it's been largely irrelevant. You can farm more faster very easily. Winning or losing in war was purely about the winning or losing, but... Now you have incentive to actually win and want to win beyond just the sake of competition. You know, if you were a clan who just allowed people to war with whatever, you know, you probably didn't care about winning or losing, but now you kind of have to.
Yeah. And even caring about loot. I mean, I literally, like I said, I did not care about war loot, but I could argue that's a good thing. I guess you could argue that it's a good thing that you actually have to care a little bit more about war. But in this kind of intermediate stage where no one has maxed heroes and everyone's trying to figure it out, it is quite funny. I think we're all viewing this from a largely Town Hall 16 perspective, but this will be affecting every Town Hall all the way down to Town Hall 8. So it's not like you can just get rid of the problem after a bit once everyone upgrades. It's going to be a constant, ongoing problem.
There's definitely going to be value in letting like lower Town Halls war with clans that are largely made up of higher Town Halls too, because like as a Town Hall 9, you can't even earn Starry Ore hitting another Town Hall 9, but you can probably find the occasional Town Hall 15 or 16 with a Town Hall in a corner that you can snipe off easy enough and then earn a lot more ore than you would from doing a standard war. My point here was just that as a clan, y'all probably need to rethink just how you look at it. And it's going to be different for every clan based on your makeup. Overall, another huge change is the hero potion. The most significant balance change I can ever think of is allowing, you know, like one potion to give you up to 94 hero levels for an hour. It's just bananas too. And now the big debate that a lot of people are having is it even worth it to upgrade your heroes?
That's a funny question. I mean, I'd still say yes, right? Because ultimately who wants to be constantly buying hero potions? I mean, that's quite a commitment, even with raid medals and pass whatever. You're still spending gems, and at that point, it's just a little bit ridiculous. But it does raise questions. For example, engineering. Will people get very rushed bases, blast them up to Town 15, participate in war, have a lower war weight, and then have max hero levels? I mean, what's stopping them? Nothing, really?
That was the first place my mind went once I actually sat down to think about it. That change wasn't told to creators. Like if anyone listened to our last episode with Clash Bashing, like we all found out about that live, like on the air. It was like Erica was in the chat and mentioned it. And that was the first I'd seen it. And I don't know, like we all immediately hated it. And then the more I think about it, the more I still hate it. Calling it now, it's going to be the return of engineering. You can get all level one stuff, use a power potion and a hero potion, and be a max offense Town Hall 16. You know, it's going to take time for you to build up your equipment levels to make those heroes actually viable. But the people who are going to be making engineer accounts are going to be war focused players, and it's just a matter of time. 6 months from now, 8 months from now, whenever it ends up being, clans are going to get wrecked in wars by engineer accounts. I guarantee it.
Yeah, and how do they balance it aside from actually just reverting the change? I mean, how can you balance that with war weights apart from just making hero levels less influential in war weights? But then that screws up balancing in its own way. It's a problem they've created for themselves.
There's no way to do it without punishing like just legit players who don't want to max out entirely. You would have to make it like town hall based matchmaking instead of just overall weight average matchmaking. As of right now, like the game is going to treat an all level one stuff Town Hall 16 probably like a 13 or 14. And yes, it's going to be easy enough to triple those bases, but that's how engineering works. Like anyone who doesn't fear this probably didn't live through the time in Clash when engineering was a massive problem. Yes, you give up 3 stars, but even level one key defenses are very strong against against the accounts you're going to match. You know, a Town Hall 13 up against a scatter, a couple spell towers, a monolith, you know, the Town Hall 16 giga weapon, whatever it's called now, is just max at level one. There's no upgrades. Those are all actually kind of hard to overcome when you're 3 town halls lower, regardless of what the rest of the defensive levels are. I don't know. It's baffling me. I don't get it. I don't get why. And I don't get how it's going to not negatively affect the game long term. It's something Clash Ninja said that made a lot of sense, was this would be an amazing change if it only applied to the first 5 days of your Town Hall boost, but it left the potions unchanged. And I 100% agree with that. Just show people the value of here's what max level heroes and troops actually do without making it a long term viable strategy, because you can buy 3 hero potions a week in the trader. That covers a war every 2 days, that covers that. And if you just sit out a couple wars in the month, it also covers CWL. So you can do almost every war for the rest of your life without ever upgrading a hero, just off hero potions in the trader. Plus, whatever you get through clan games or random events, it's way too powerful.
And I guess that segues us kind of nicely to the whole problem with the value of hero upgrades. Because you said, oh yeah, it'd be great if you could, you know, just have it for the first 5 days just to show the power of hero levels. But the power of hero levels isn't as great anymore because you do not get an ability upgrade every time or every 5 levels of your hero. So, in effect, your hero upgrades are literally, objectively, less valuable. And it, despite that, we haven't had a cost, Dark Elixir cost reduction. We haven't had a time reduction to heroes, despite the fact that, I mean, people will be wondering, what's the point? I mean, there were always the complaints, right, about how, oh, I've got 10 extra DPS from this hero upgrade. Why is it even worth it? And the response was, well, yeah, it doesn't seem like much, but once you do all the upgrades, it's really important, blah, blah. It was easy to justify, right? But now, well, you don't even get the ability level upgrades, so it does make you actually question, God, why am I even bothering upgrading my heroes?
I do still think overall it's important to upgrade your heroes. I think it dropped a couple pegs in priority, though. You can slack a little, and you can probably get by with having a town hall lower heroes and still do fine, you know, and no one wants to be reliant on hero potions forever, you know, at least for a main account, a non-engineering war focused account. Like, no one wants to always have to have a potion, but it doesn't feel as necessary to tell people, like, max your heroes first before you really start worrying about defenses.
Yeah, I would just like to say that I just said that there wasn't a resource cost reduction for heroes. According to Ninja, there was for Talon Lates 15, so point corrected there. But still no time reduction, right?
No, it was a pretty decent cost reduction across mostly the lower levels, and okay time reductions across like the low and mid levels. Like overall time to max heroes dropped even with the 5 new levels, but not a whole lot. I think it dropped like about 20 days maybe total. I don't know, it wasn't really significant. I want to look at the math and see like total time to max everything and what portion of that is heroes, you know, like town hall 1 to town hall 16. A certain percentage of that build time is going to be heroes. So even with all the reductions across the board, heroes didn't get as much of a time reduction, and there's 20 new hero levels. So I kind of bet that as a percentage of your total upgrades, heroes are now a larger percent after this update.
Yeah, and I guess it's not even just about the raw percentage of upgrade time, is it? It's the fact that upgrading a defense really isn't the end of the world, but upgrading heroes deprives you of a very, very vital attacking option. So it's even more important in that regard.
Back to how ore drives activity. Are you going to be able to take breaks from Clash anymore? Like, are you going to feel like you're missing out too much on, you know, the ore you're not gaining daily, or missing epic gear in these events?
I mean, I kind of feel like I'm grappling with that a little bit now, because I got exams in about a month, so I've been spending less time playing Clash and more time actually working for once. And I keep thinking, crap, I need to go do my daily bonus. But some days I don't really have the time to do multiple tests. I'm only farming with Sneaky Goblins at the moment, so I'm not getting 3 stars to finish it quickly. I'm getting, you know, 1, maybe 2 stars. And it is just a bit like, oh, crap, I actually need to make sure I log in. Whereas before, if I miss a single day, my thought process would be, okay, I'll spend one night and pop a training potion. It'll be fine. But yeah, it does kind of feel like a pressure not to take a break from Clash, which I guess is easier for the casual player to kind of cope with. Because it's like, yeah, oh, I've enjoyed my few weeks of playing. I'll now come back in 6 months, a year, which is what like a few of my friends do. But yeah, it's not probably a big deal for them. But I guess for people more aligned with our style of play, who play it way too much for their own goods, I imagine a lot of us will be thinking, right, if I want to just avoid Clash for the next week, so I'm going on holiday, can I really do that? Because will I miss out on a whole week's worth of ore collecting and progress? I mean, it's a bit of a consideration.
Yeah, I mean, you like obviously you can and will miss out on some of that stuff too, but
yeah,
you know, like it's a harder decision now. Spencer, you've been the kind of player who doesn't always get a whole lot of attacks in every day. Have you been a lot more active, like, due to the ore, or has it affected your playstyle?
Yeah, so the last few months I only war and I never attack. Like, I'll go a full season with zero attacks, but I'll be active every day and do wars. But this month, I did get a lot of attacks in. I wouldn't necessarily say it's only because of the ore, mostly because of the new troop in farming the elixir. So we'll really have to see how it plays out next month. But one thing is I'm really a lot more conscious about the daily start bonus and how much ore I'm getting and if it's going to be enough to allow me to upgrade something. So I'm paying a lot more attention to that than I ever have before.
What league are you hanging out in lately?
Yeah, good to bring up. So I was in Legend League, and then the trophy reset happened, and I wanted to leave Legend League. And so this is my second day not attacking, and I'm actually missing out on the daily start bonus, waiting to get dropped out of Legend League, which does kind of suck.
They really need an exit button for Legends.
Yeah.
I agree.
What league have you been hanging out in, Rick? I guess you've got Max Heroes, don't you? So...
Dude, I tore through Town Hall 16. I'm down to like traps only right now. Like I probably didn't talk about it too much on the podcast, but I was like stocking up for, you know, all 14 months at Town Hall 15. I stopped using magic items entirely, and I bought all the decent deals. So I like day one of Town Hall 16, I had Max Heroes, I had halfway to the pet. I finished the pet by the time. Like the boost wore off, so I've literally never attacked without max offense. I was able to get through all my lab. Most of the defenses, I was down to like air defenses and wizard towers and traps on defenses because I had a ton of magic items. But you guys each have like only a handful of accounts, right?
Yeah.
I've literally only got one I play on actively.
Yeah. So did you bother doing the event on more than one account at all?
Nope.
I mean, considering I don't really play on another account, doing the event was definitely out of my scope. So I don't think I'm the correct person to answer this question.
Right. I did this stupid cookie event on 8 freaking accounts.
Oh my god.
To unlock the gauntlet and complete the track just to buy ore on them all. And holy crap, I'm not doing that again. It's way too much. I'm going to have to accept that. Hey, like all my lower accounts are not gonna have all the gear all the time. Like I mostly just wanted to do it once now just to see how terrible it was. And like it was bad. Like but it's holidays and I had a lot of free time, so you know, like there's no way I'm doing this during a busier time on my schedule. You know, but also it's not that big of a deal too, because my alts are like permanent lower town halls, most of them. You know, I have a permanent 9, a permanent 8, 10, 11, whatever. And I don't have a hard time tripling without big gear now. So, you know, it's more easy for me to accept just, you know, I just won't have all the gear. Yeah, but also, too, like, man, if this is the way the game's going to go in the future, like, having the people who have multiple high-level accounts, that's not going to be very feasible anymore for long-term, I think.
Yeah. There equally are the people who actually have high-level, long-term accounts, the people who could probably afford to keep up with this kind of activity. I mean, if you've, say, got 2 max Town Hall 16s, I mean, imagine almost no one has that now, but say people who had, say, 2 max Town Hall 15s when that was max, I mean, that's already a lot of time you spent putting into an entire another account. So... are those people really the type of people who need to worry about the extra commitment? I mean, 8 accounts doing the special event on is ridiculous. But in general, I feel like that section of the community is probably the section most prepared to kind of weather this extra activity, as I imagine they've been putting well enough in already.
Yeah. It's also, you know, like, I don't come across like I'm saying that the game should be balanced in a way that caters to people with multiple accounts, because obviously it shouldn't. Like,
yeah.
People with more than one account are, you know, a very small percentage of the overall player base. It's the reason why we don't have a lot of nice features like rearranging our Supercell IDs and stuff. It's 'cause it's not worth the investment. So it kind of sucks a little bit, but I think it's reasonable. It's something we just gotta, you're gonna have to eat that one.
Yeah, I don't think you can complain overly.
The thing that I'm mostly concerned with lately, how long will it take to max all this gear with the limited amount of ore we can actually earn? Like, I'm a Legends player who wars constantly. I'm getting basically the max amount of ore possible. And I'm starting to look at the charts people are putting out. And I'm looking at, with just existing equipment right now, I'm not going to max all of it until the end of September. That's not accounting for any additional epic gear that we get later in the year or additional common equipment, however that's going to come. So I'm starting to wonder, like, is it going to be possible to max all this gear before Town Hall 16 ends? And if not, is that something that people are going to be okay with?
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm sure most people, or at least a fair few people, have already seen the leaks. For example, the Queen's Ice Arrow ability. So they've already got new equipment in the works, right? It's not even the case where they're still developing new equipment. They're ready to go just whenever they want to. So, I mean, we have no idea the kind of timeline for when equipment will come out. And it feels like one of the things you kind of wish there was a timeline for, even though it's not really practical. I mean, it does really affect how you approach equipment. Because if you know something is coming, that a new piece of equipment is coming soon, are you going to be more wary about burning a bunch of ore on a less used piece of equipment? So will people be constantly worried about spending ore on equipment they don't use as much because a new one might just be sprung on them?
It makes balancing, like, any gear that needs balancing, really weird too. Like, how, imagine saving up 3 months worth of ore to upgrade something to max, and then, you know, it becomes irrelevant after a balance change or new gear comes up. It's such a long investment, you know. Like, there's obviously a risk of that happening now with pets and troops and everything else. There could always be a balance change that wrecks something, but it doesn't feel like that big of a kick in the boys, because you can just hammer a different troop up and be back in the game immediately. Or, you know, 2 weeks later, you have a different new max troop or whatever, as long as you're keeping up. But with no way to quickly farm ore, like, it's not going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about, like you were talking about balancing, I'm a bit worried that eventually equipment is going to fall into the same issue that kind of arose with pets, which is that on the whole, most pets just kind of had their hero, right? So you always almost put Unicorn, the Queen. I mean, now with the I've completely forgot the name of the new pet, but the new pet that makes him go
the
things
Spirit
go invisible,
Fox.
Now with that Spirit Fox, thank you. Now with the Spirit Fox and the Diggy, I mean, I guess that offers a bit more variety for the Royal Champion. But, you know, the King often had the Phoenix, occasionally the Frosty, maybe the Yak. But overall, pets kind of fell into their place. And then certain pets, like the Lassie, faded into obscurity. And I guess the new four pets and now additional additional pet that came with Town 16 did alleviate that problem. But I'm a little bit worried that with the equipment, there's just going to be the set two, which people almost always take. And then there might be one which occasionally some more experienced players can leverage in specific war attacks. But the more equipment they add, the more I worry that's going to be a problem, unless they can balance it really well.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, with Lassie, like, Lassie brings up some concerns of mine too, just because Lassie is essentially obsolete right now. They tried to buff it with the 5 extra levels, but it didn't really work. There's still no reason to, you know, unless you're spending significant time at Town Hall 14, there's no reason to even upgrade Lassie. So, I mean, yeah, like, of course it's going to happen with equipment. So get ready and wrap your head around it now that you're going to upgrade gear that's going to be obsolete at some point in the future. I don't know which ones or how much that's going to happen, but it's like a certainty that it will.
Yeah, and I guess you could argue we're crying a bit about it because, I mean, the same could be applied for troops, right? You could upgrade a troop, like maybe the Valkyrie, for example, and almost never use it. So I guess you could argue, okay, you just kind of got to accept that not everything is going to be useful all the time. But I guess it's just maybe the time commitment or the play time commitment that comes in with the equipment.
Yeah, like I agree too, because like you haven't spent a significant amount of time like focusing on your Valkyrie, you know, like yeah. You know, people do it, you know, like Supercell, at least with the Valk specifically, like Supercell is always trying to make them more relevant, you know, like they keep getting new levels, you know, they've gotten balance changes in the past. You know, like there's a few troops that I think they've just totally given up on, like the Super Valk is no one's ever gonna care about that again. You know, but I don't know, again, like you can farm that stuff up really quickly. You can farm the resources for any troop within a day. You know, there's hammers where you can instantly get it, you know, a level, there's books, you know, there's a lot of ways to very quickly.
Even in the raid medal shop, you can get three research potions.
Yeah. Week, yeah. So. We have mechanics to where you can grind that stuff out quickly. And if you lose it, it's not really that big of a loss too. And we're all used to it by this point. But with gear, like, I don't know, like things can change and your equipment becoming irrelevant represents you, like you saved up 3 months of ore to upgrade that. I don't know. That's not going to be fun.
Choice, yeah. Feels like you've done a lot of complaining, doesn't it?
Yes. I know that this whole episode is just like, it's just us saying like all this stuff might suck later. But I mean, like overall, yeah. I still am really, really enjoying Town Hall 16 so far, even with the stupidly overpowered troops and like root rider spam and being successful again, even before the, you know, even before the event, like I was getting, you know, amazing Legends days, and it's fun again. It really is. So I think we just need some distance between the event and to kind of like let the changes that Orr brought in kind of really soak in before we give it like a real long-term judgment. It's better than Town 15. I'm happier playing this as it is right now in its current state than I was
really
2 months ago as a max 15, just struggling.
See, I get that Town 16 has definitely been easier than Town 15, which I'm sure has been appealing to many. I mean, not, you know, like you said, notwithstanding the seasonal troop, just the Ram Rider has been very good, and defense as a whole did take enough. But I did feel more, I don't know, I felt more positive about Town 15. I felt that the spell towers were cooler and the monolith was cooler, like combined, than the merged defenses. Especially because the merged defenses, I mean, the merging's a bit of a gimmick, isn't it? I mean, it's just new defenses, basically, that you are technically merging. And the E-Titan was an interesting troop, didn't feel broken, but it found its place in the meta quite comfortably. And yeah. Although Town 15 was harder, there wasn't a gameplay mechanic like this equipment, which I felt quite uncomfortable about. And I get why you'd say, oh yeah, I've been enjoying Town 16 more because it's just been easier to triple and whatnot. But that aside, I felt a lot better about the Town 15 update, if I'm to be honest.
But also, you know, I think offensive and defensive metas have kind of like alternated. There's, and maybe it's only this case, like accidentally, you know, with hindsight, but, you know, Town Hall 13 was, you know, introduced the scatter shot, which is pretty punishing defense and took a lot of people a lot of time to really adapt to. Town Hall 12 before it was really more offensive focused with the introduction of siege machines. 14 was defensively kind of, you know, meh. It was the only new thing was the battle builders, right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, like it did have an effect, but it wasn't anything that wasn't pretty easy to overcome.
And the Giga Poison, that was new.
Yeah, yeah. But like you already knew you had to avoid the Town Hall bomb anyway, you know, in the Town Hall effect. It wasn't like a huge change.
I'd contest that slightly, because before Town Hall 14, you had people quite comfortable to send their hybrid armies or their Lalo through the Town Hall, because worst case scenario, they got slowed down as long as you timed your warden ability right. Whereas the Town Hall poison did really shift people away from that, because getting stuck in the poison would kill your army.
Yeah, I know, but it's still not like an entirely new concept you have to adapt to.
No, true.
And then 15 was very defensively heavy, you know, two new key signature defenses. And now 16 is just, hey, we got new offensive toys. We're very offensively strong. And the defensive stuff is kind of, you know, hey, the emerging stuff isn't a game changer. It, it's a little anti-rushing because you have to have upgraded cannons and archer towers, I guess. But you know, I'm fine with the alternating offensive and defensive strong town halls.
Like, I know that kind of balancing is going to be swings and roundabouts. It's more for me, less the balancing, more just what we actually got. And in theory, I'd be much more excited about hero abilities than I would be about, say, the monolith, right? Because I actually, if we just get rid of all the crap we've been talking about today, overall, I quite like the hero abilities, and I think they're all quite cool. And I think a lot of them have quite a good niche. I'm actually quite a fan of them. But I think, at least with Town 15, at least I saw the spell tower, I saw the monster, and thought, these are fairly cool. And they're not introducing anything quite problematic, possibly, about the future of the game. Whereas with these hero equipments, I have thought, I'm not quite sure if I like where this is going, which I guess is the main difference in how I feel about the two updates.
Town Hall 16 still has a lot of room to grow, too. Like, it of course, is going to get more defensively stronger as we go through the year. But there's also a lot of room to add new offensive stuff, too. We didn't get a new spell. We didn't get new spell spaces. We didn't get new clan castle stuff. So it's, you know, obviously way too early to judge Town Hall 16, but, like, I'm having fun with it. You know, like, I just really wanted to say, like, I know this is just, you know, like, an hour of whining and complaining, but overall, still, I do, you know, I am having fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to eat my words in the future.
So the big controversial argument that's turning Reddit into just a trash heap the last week too is pay to win. So real quickly, you two, do you feel any aspect of this update is pay to win or bringing us closer towards it?
I'm going to go with no.
Ooh.
Maybe play. I see a lot of people saying like pay to win or all these different words. It's a lot of play the game to play the game, which is fine for a game in my opinion.
Yeah, I think most of Reddit needs to look the grab a dictionary and look up what winning actually means. Like none of this stuff is pay to win. Even considering the gear might be put in the trader later. Like I don't know, it's not pay to win. It's closer on the spectrum there, but there's still like going to be a hard boundary that the game hasn't crossed. It's so it's not pay to win. Anyone who said the word pay to win is dumb.
Yeah, I disagree with it being pay to win, but I think they've really amped up the pay to progress element of it because, as you said, equipment locked behind a paywall. Well, not a paywall, but locked behind
a gem wall is the word I see a lot.
A gem wall, yeah, gem wall. If you miss the event. And also, it's just another update to try push you to spend money on hero books, on Dark Elixir runes, to get your heroes done quicker and earlier. Because now you feel compelled to war all the time, because you can't miss out on wars. People are going to be compelled to try and finish their heroes quicker, because either maybe their clan won't even let them war without heroes, or you know, it's not very fun to not really stand a chance of getting a triple in a war, and actively, I guess, quote, letting your team down. So, yeah, I don't, it's not pay to win, but I don't like how much they're pushing you to spend money more. I mean, the new mechanics feel like they've been in part added to push you in that direction quite intentionally.
Definitely, 100%. The pressure to spend money and the pressure to stay active has never been higher, but I don't think we're objectively not at the pay to win state.
No. I mean, the only time when we literally are in the pay-to-win state is when you literally cannot get, say, hero equipment without spending literal money in the store, right? Until we got to the point where you physically cannot get something that affects your gameplay experience with money, it is not pay-to-win. But, like you said, we can definitely get pushed more and more.
And you can blur that line some without saying, like, the only way is to spend real money. Like, if they gave it some just obscenely high gem cost in the trade or two, like if they say it was, you know, like 30,000 gems where you'd have to spend a year scrimping and saving to get it free to play. Yeah. Like, I'll call that pay to win, you know, until we see the cost, you know, it's probably not going to be ridiculous. I'd put it like, if I had to guess, like, look at the way they valued the stuff through the cookie trader. The gauntlet was 3,100 medals and the skin was like 4,600. And legendary skins are normally $10, which is you know, or 1500 gems. So I would imagine it's going to be near that, if not a little lower, just based on how they valued it from cookies. But I don't know, who knows? Like, I don't even know if they've decided yet.
Yeah, and I guess you don't need the gauntlets, right? You can, in theory, you should be able to cope fine without it, and it still take you so long to upgrade anyway that,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe yeah, I don't think there's any strategies that are going to require specific equipment. There's going to be ones that are, you know, made easier by having that specific equipment upgraded, but so far, I don't know if there's anything short of, like, a giant arrow taking out multiple air defenses probably opens up a lot of possibilities.
Yeah. But that's assuming they are all in a line.
Yeah, real niche stuff and really dependent on base design, like you said. But I do think there are things that, like, have to change in the game now in reaction to what Or is doing. Do you guys think we, like, having heroes available to use while they're upgrading, is that going to be a must?
I prefer it, but it's not going to be a must. It will never be a must for Supercell. It will not happen.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not going to say, yeah, just give us heroes while they're upgrading. It makes sense we don't get our heroes while they're upgrading. What I think they should do is just really reduce the time for hero upgrades and the amount of hero upgrades. Like, divide all by five for each town hall level. I think that would be a really simple, easy fix.
I know.
There's just way too many levels.
Like, especially now that, like the sets of five for ability levels is not a thing.
Yep.
Like, I don't know what it needs to be, but something has to change with heroes. Like, I don't really care what it is, whether it's drastically reducing upgrade time and cost, like reducing the number of levels, just letting us have them during war, even if it comes with some kind of penalty, like maybe we use a potion for it to bring them up in war.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just have, like, hell, give us, like, Angry Birds style energy or Candy Crush, you know, where, like, hey, you can do it five times this week and that's it. Like, I don't really care. Just it's got to be some kind of mechanic to allow us to do it. If they're going to maintain that, like, 300 plus levels of heroes, you know, that taking over a year of upgrade time total, like, it's bananas, especially with how devalued hero upgrades have become. Something's got to give.
Yeah, I'd be pretty happy with making maybe the hero potion dual purpose and also letting you use heroes while down. I think that would be a smart and sensible change.
Friendly wars and regular wars need to be able to run concurrently, like in different clans, but like for esports players, like they have to.
Yeah, I'm actually a little disappointed that didn't come with the update or before the update. Like,
I mean, I can only see it as an oversight, not intentional. I mean, I think the only reason it's not already a thing, regardless of hero ores, is just because I assume it's a bit of effort, which they never felt compelled to do. Because it works for Clan War League. You can participate in Clan War League and play Clan War for, I assume, a similar reason, so that pro players can do their wars while engaged in a 7-week CWL. But yeah, I just assume it's some back encoding they never got around to doing, mainly because they forgot, and in the past, it was never a big deal. But yeah, I can't see why it wouldn't happen, and it needs to happen.
How is your chat tab looking in-game?
Fine. I mean, it's chat, right?
What do you want us to say?
Oh, you mean how active is the
chat? Yeah, because it's full, like, ours is full of friendly challenges.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 100%. Top to bottom. Like, there's no... Like, it's hard to have, like, a conversation with someone a lot of times because, you know, somebody's testing 50 different entries on a base, which is cool. But, I know, like, some kind of, like, moving FCs into a new tab, like, maybe back where Global was or something, I think is really needed.
Oh, yeah. Like, a log tab where you could see clan logs, stuff like that.
Yeah, just something, like even just collapsing... Like collapsing them when there's a bunch in a row. Mm-hmm. I know, like, so, you know, some kind of change that.
See, I can't see that happening without some wider recruiting or clan overhaul, right? I can't see it coming individually. I think that'll come as part of hopefully a big overhaul on the clan system and the recruitment system, and that could take ages to come. So I'm not.
I mean, they said that's coming sooner or later.
They've said it's coming for ages.
Though. Yeah, they've been saying like we're gonna work on the recruitment tool this year and for, you know, 4 years. Global left in 2019, you know.
Yeah, we outsource our recruitment stuff. So for now, there's nothing we can do, eh? Yeah, moving on.
All right. Do you think we need additional sources of ore or any changes to how we obtain ore?
I do see a lot of people saying bring ore to Builder Base in some sort of implementation. No. I don't know how I feel about that. I'll have to give it more thought, but I feel like the way we get through war now is fine. It just sucks having the three ore and having to upgrade with three different ore. But overall, I'm actually not too mad about anything related to ore, to be honest.
I mean, people are going to have a wish list, right, of where they want ore from, but I think a lot of people are going to forget how it's going to have to be constrained, which is something time-limiting, right? Supercell aren't going to give it to us in any format, which could be just farmed or gotten passively, I guess. So I imagine the most conceivable option I can see is maybe the raid medal shop, because that has a limit on you. You only can get raid medals every weekend, and I guess that would make clan capital a bit more, a bit more of a purpose, and just an additional way for people to get ore. I think that'd be quite a solid change.
More ore, of course, is stuff I want. I haven't seen any great ideas on how to do it. Like, I don't want it tied to Builder Base at all. I don't want to play Builder Base. I have two push traps left, and I'm a max Builder Hall 10, and I'm never going to touch that thing again until Builder Hall 11. Like, I just want to be done with it. I don't want to be feel forced to play a game mode I don't enjoy for ore. That was always the problem with Auto, too, now the robot builder. Like, you're not going to fix Builder Base or make Builder Base lively again by forcing people to play it to have a mean village advantage. I know. Probably the only good idea was, like, during the four times star bonus event, it should be four times the ore, too.
Is it not?
No, it wasn't.
So I didn't even notice. Like, I didn't, because I automatically just pressed OK or just tapped on the side as soon as it came up, so I never actually looked.
I feel like a big problem with the ore, everyone's just, we have so much equipment to upgrade that needs so much ore. If we just had maybe a few equipment released with this update, everyone would feel so much better about it. And I really don't think there'd be any complaining in terms of ore, but we just have so much to upgrade, especially with the epic ore that has 27 levels. We just need so much ore right now.
There's no reason for it to have 27 levels either.
No.
Yeah.
It's artificially stupid, right? I mean, it's literally an arbitrary stupid number.
Three resources just means they can, like, wiggle stuff around and you know, make, you know, add different bottlenecks and make you want to spend three different ways, too. I don't like the three resources. All right, the final thing that I want to ask you guys about, if it needs to change, is Root Riders. Do you think they need a nerf already or what?
So, yeah, that's a good question. Right after the update, before the event dropped, I was using a really simple Root Rider army that I saw Itzu use. And I was three-starring back-to-back with it. And that was with Max Heroes, of course. But I... just off of that, you would say, oh yeah, that definitely needs a nerf. But considering we haven't really got a lot of the defense levels yet for the major defenses on the base, I think Root Rider is fine now, and it'll just lose its value as we get more defense upgrades.
I haven't used them enough, so I'm not really sure yet. Because with Heroes down, I haven't really had a chance to properly play.
People are still basically Town Hall 15s. So many defenses got nerfed that, like, even the upgraded stuff at Town Hall 16 is really Town Hall 15's strength. Base design hasn't really adapted yet. We had a huge wrench thrown in, like, meta development by the event troop that's just spammable for constant three stars. I don't know. It's really too early to call for nerfs like a lot of people are. Once we start getting more Town Hall 16 content, you wouldn't want to see him, like, have to nerf it now and then buff it later to bring it back into relevance. So it might just be it's overpowered for a while.
What do you guys feel about the way the Root Rider looks? I do see a lot of people complaining about that.
It definitely looks better when you level it up, put it that way. I think level 1 looks atrocious. Levels 2 and 3 look a bit better. And they could maybe just adjust the design of level 1 so it doesn't look like she's just riding a massive pile of dog shit.
Oh, yeah. I saw a concept on the subreddit that said like this is what it should look like, and it looked so good. Did you guys see that?
I think I yeah with the few more like spikes and stuff. I think yeah. I know the post you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. No, they could fix that.
Yeah, Darian had left a comment saying like the original inspiration was like an ent, and they said they changed it just because it felt too derivative, and they wanted to take it in a more original direction. But like, man, an ent would have been so cool.
Yeah, that would be sick.
Root Rider design now is like I don't know, I don't like it. It's a cool troop, it's a cool concept. The design is, eh.
It's really cool concept for sure.
Hey, all right, I think it's time to wrap it up. Do we have any announcements we need to make?
Twitch drops, quick blast about that.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. So Twitch drops have started. From I think they started yesterday, on Christmas Day, and they're going to January the 1st. So what this means is that if you link your Clash of Clans account to your Twitch account and watch Clash of Clans streams, I think almost all of them have drops of it enabled, but I think there is a way to check. So if you just watch some Clash of Clans streams, you can earn some free rewards. I'm trying to remember what they are. I think it is cookie medals, glowy ore, a shovel, a power pot, and a resource potion. So there you get them for varying kind of watch time. So if you watch for say 30 minutes, you get a resource potion, 6 minutes power potion, you get the gist. So yeah, it's just a free way to get some stuff, and that could even mean just putting it on in the background, muting the tab and going and having lunch or something, or just doing anything else. So it's a really easy free way just to get stuff, so really good thing for everyone to do.
You have to link your Supercell ID to your Twitch account. It's twitch.supercell.com. And then you log into your Supercell ID, and just the rewards top out at like 4 hours, and you can leave it running in the background. You can't mute the stream, but you can mute the tab in your browser, or just like drop the volume on your phone and walk away for 4 hours or whatever. There's so many people watching Twitch streaming, like guys who I normally see streaming to like four people are streaming to, you know, over 100 now. Like it seems like it's massive
success.
How many
real people are they actually streaming to?
I mean, it's a lot of people who want the rewards.
Yeah,
do it. It's just 4 hours of background time sometime, and you get a free shovel and 300 medals. And like 300 medals is basically another ore pack, so it's decent.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna do on Reddit. We have an AMA on the 29th. I don't know what time yet, awesome. But that's gonna be Seasick Shrimp. He is the guy who finished top of the Builder Base leaderboard last season. I don't know about the season ended like 2 days ago, but one of the best Builder Base players in the world is going to come by and answer questions on Reddit. So keep an eye out on the pinned posts for that. Darian, so there's a question in chat. AMA with Darian. We asked him when we saw him in person in November, and he just kind of said sometime after the update. So I know we will bug him when everyone's back in the office after the holidays. So hopefully January, February sometime is when we can get Darian to do an AMA. And I guess if there's nothing else, you guys have any shout outs?
Nope. I think I'm okay.
Yeah. Screw everyone.
Amen.
All right. So yeah, I will do solo shout outs, I guess, because, you know what? I like saying hi to people. All right. buddy of ours, Ghost Knight, is going to start his own podcast. And I know we've said that before about people we like starting their own podcast that never materialized with Magic. But sounds like Ghost Knight and Magic are getting together, and they're going to start a podcast here pretty soon. So congrats.
Ooh.
To those guys. We will include links when it actually happens. And then, we had such a heartbreaking CWL at the start of the month that we never really had a chance to talk about.
Oh, man, that was bad. That was so upsetting.
We won the first six wars. We matched another podcast clan, which is cool. Like, we spun at the same time with the intent to match, and it actually worked out. But in Champs 2, matched Crystal to join. Each of us won the first 6 days of wars, and we got to face each other in day 7 with promotion on the line. And it was a total blast, really stressful. They ended up edging us out and promoting, so congrats. Shout out to all the CTGA guys over there. And a very big shout out to y'all's MVP, Pablo, who carried y'all to promotion with his amazing in-game actions. So yeah, congrats you guys, and hopefully we catch up to you and can match again in Champs 1 in February. That well, is going to do it for us.
I get a triple in that last war, so that was my only saving grace.
Yeah, dude, it was like it's bittersweet. Like if we had to lose promotion to somebody, I'm glad it's like friends, you know, and they got to finally promote. You know, obviously I wish it was us, but dude, it was a great war. It's the most fun. It was the most fun CWL I've had as a Town Hall 15 ever. So anyway, that's gonna wrap it up. I know this one went pretty long. Thanks you guys for joining. Thanks everyone else for listening. We will catch you. Oh, all right, Spence has a shout out that I will edit in before this.
Shout out to Sam and Rick. This is our second year doing the podcast, and this is our last episode of the year.
That reminds me. We've got a special episode, hopefully, coming in the new year. Which is hopefully going to be making fun of Spencer.
Among other things.
Oh, Spencer, you reminded me. That's brilliant.
Oh, great. All right, bye, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, that'll probably be... Whoops, the recording ended a little prematurely there. Sorry about that. But just to wrap it up, next episode we're going to record in January. We're going to call that the start of Season 3, which has no real meaning. Maybe just Year 3 might be a better term. We got a new logo coming, new hosts, new guests, lots of great stuff planned. Let us know in the reviews or the Spotify comments what you would like us to tackle in 2024. And we hope you continue to join us every other week or so when we do this. Happy holidays to everyone, and hope to see you next year. Also, final shout out to my official chess best friend and runner-up of the first ever Rick vs. Knob 1v1 CWL Challenge, my good friend Magic Knob, who definitely didn't guilt me into tacking on a last-second shout-out. Have a VB for me, champ, and I'll crack a Foster's here for you, too. See you next time.